This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is, what is this? Oh, Biblical Response. Yeah, no, I knew. I was just joking. My age, some people say, well, is he, how well is his mind working? Well, I don't know. I can't remember. But anyway, we have a wonderful program planned for you today.
Amen.
You know, at some point we'll be inviting you to call in if you have a question or a comment. If you have a pen and a piece of paper, you want to write that number down now at 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. Don't call now because we haven't had a chance to either excite you or upset you yet. So that'll happen in a few minutes. But before we go into I introduce the news item that we're going to be looking at today, I have the great privilege and pleasure introducing my co-host today. And today it's all guys. We're going to start with Lance Winkler.
Yes.
Brother, how you doing?
Good morning, Dave. I'm doing great today.
That's fantastic.
Good drive-in, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good. You come Port St. Lucie?
Yes.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Down the turnpike.
Down the turnpike. Well, thank God, for that's a great road. Cost a little money to do it, but, yeah, you know, it's...
Worth it.
They say it's the less stress way, you know, that's... Yeah, more... Sometimes it depends.
Yeah, I don't know.
If there's construction or a wreck...
I don't know if there is less stress on the road anywhere.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Let's hope it improves, though. And one of our co-hosts who's not here, after Keith has had a chance to open us up by saying hello, and he's got a shout-out, we want to pray for Ann because they're on a hiking trip, and they just need prayer. But Keith Masters, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, David. Good morning.
Good morning,
Lance.
Good morning.
How you doing? Yeah, so I've got a shout-out. Great to be here. Blessed to be here.
Yeah.
Got a shout-out to my brother Josh. Mm. Josh, how are you doing? Hope you're doing well. Our sister Paulette, who's in the hospital with knee surgery, recovering from knee surgery, so we pray for her. We're asking everybody to pray for her and for her recovery, and she's doing great, by the way.
Good,
I just spoke to her this morning. Yep, she's doing well. God is taking care of her, and she said through the grace of God, she's healing very quickly. So prayers do work. So thank you. And then I wanted to talk real fast about our Tuesday helper that comes by the house and helps us. And she goes to the beach. Her name is Lee. She goes to the beach every morning, and she's a believer, and she goes, and the Lord speaks to her in, you know, many ways up there. Mm. The sun rises, and this morning she saw dolphins. Mm-hmm.
I love those sightings.
Right, when God talks to you with gifts like that. So she lost her keys this morning at the beach. She said to me, she said, I didn't ask God to find the keys for me. I asked the Lord to give me the patience to look for the keys.
That to me is an anointed
request.
That's
a good prayer.
And that's what I said to her. I said, Lee, that is such a great prayer. I loved the prayer.
Yeah. Mm.
Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And we all know that we all have it, right? Mm. So, that's...
I don't have enough patience to pray for patience.
Right?
I want those keys now.
Well, you know, the thing is always don't pray for patience, because what God will give you is the opportunity to experience
exactly
a situation where you need to be patient.
But that's what happened. She lost her keys.
Yeah.
And she had the experience right there. Give me the patience to look for my keys.
And did she find them?
10 minutes later, she found the keys.
Praise God.
She said she was calm. And you know what she didn't do? She said she didn't want to talk to anybody else around her to help her search for the keys. Right. She just left it to God, and then God guided her. And what she did was she got down on her knees, and she was looking like sideways. You know how you turn your head?
Yeah.
And you look, and she's looking for the reflection. So this is how the Lord guided her. She's looking for the reflection of the keys on the sand. I mean, that's amazing.
Amen. You know? Amazing.
That's amazing.
Give me patience and wisdom.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
And then he blesses her with the porpoises, with the dolphins.
How about that?
Wow. On top of that, cherry on top of the ice cream.
You know, it's almost as good as that story in the Bible about the fish coughing up a coin so that Jesus could pay the temple tax.
Right. I thought of the axe head floating.
Really.
But she didn't ask for the axe head to float.
But that is awesome.
Yeah. It is, right?
It's a really good teaching, Keith. Thank you.
So I know the Lord shared that before I left the house this morning.
How many listeners today either have had that need to be patient to do something or find something, or will be having that need?
Yes.
But the grace of God.
How many of us want something to happen that can't happen yet, but we're straining, we're chomping at the bit, you know, we're like the racehorse, you know, pushing against the gate, and God's saying, wait, it's not time yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that was a freebie, folks. Before we get into our news, the other thing I did promise to pray for Anne and her family. Anne and her family are in Canada doing some serious hiking. And I texted her telling her we're going to pray for her and her family. And she said, while you're doing that, please pray for good weather. The weather's being predicted doesn't look too good. And I can see that if you're outdoors, especially in Canada, apparently it's a lot more serious if you're hiking in Canada. And so we have hiking trails in the United States. Yeah, what's wrong?
All hiking for me is serious.
I get that. Yeah, me too. But at any rate, if you'll join us in a prayer for Anne and her family. Father God, we thank you for Anne, for her gifts, her ministry. And we thank you for her family and that warm, loving family that embraces her and does what families in Christ are supposed to do. They nourish her, and of course they nourish each other. Bless them as they're on this journey in Canada now. Bless them with safe weather and good weather for hiking. Bless their hiking. So that they can have a joyous time, enjoy the gifts of nature that they can experience, and be safe. And for as many days as they're going to be doing that, please watch over them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I love this. I love this time on the air with our listeners and with you guys and, with actually the whole team, whenever the whole team can gather. Just a big thrill for me. But now, I need to tell you what we're going to talk about today. You may have read recently, and this was June the 12th, Friday, June the 12th. There was a baseball game, and the San Francisco Giants were facing a major controversy emerged from the game. This happened to be that they were playing the Chicago Cubs at Oracle Park in San Francisco. And this was their Pride Night celebration, which the Major League Baseball embraced with great fervor, I'm sure. And three pitchers for the San Francisco Giants, they had been given special caps, by the way, for the game that was Pride-focused. And there was the rainbow emblem on the caps. And three of the pitchers, Landon Root, JT Brubaker, and Ryan Walker, used white markers to scrawl scripture on the caps, and part of it covered the rainbow symbol. And that was Genesis 9, 12 through 16. Now, those of you that are biblical scholars don't have to turn into your Bibles to see that is the time after the flood when the ark is settled and Noah and all his people are out and the animals and free, and God makes a covenant with Noah, and he puts a rainbow in the sky. And the rainbow is part of what we call the Noahic covenant, where God says to Noah and his family, I'll never do this again. We'll never have another flood that destroys humanity. And, of course, if you dig deeper into that, there's a lot more to it. But the point is that that the rainbow has been, I always take the words of somebody, another clergy person that I know, that the rainbow's been hijacked by the LGBTQ plus community, and that's their symbol. And so, in a very, in a way of a very, it was not an overt. It was just a very simple statement, but it created a furor in the Major League Baseball, the environs of the Major League Baseball, and of course beyond that into the culture, and various sides now have formed because of that. So that was the news item, and by now most of you should be able to see where we're going to go in the in-depth work that we're going to be doing on that. And so for that, really, for the next deeper level, I'm going to go to Keith.
Thanks, David. And I just want to do a quick recall. Last week that we were speaking about Governor DeSantis signing the proclamation for the month of June in the state of Florida for faith and family. And this is why we brought this up, because in the secular world, everybody might know June as Pride Month. And Pride Month has seeped into professional baseball. And this was our response in the spiritual battle against what the secular country is calling Pride Month. So so since that happened, last week it was baseball, and as David said, on June 12th, the Giants had a Pride Night at Oracle Park, which is their home field, and the against the Cubs. And as you said, as you described, it was the SF on the front. Now, the SF is usually orange. They have a black cap with an orange emblem on the front, and they changed it to a rainbow.
Right.
And I had one of the players, they might have worn different scripture. One was what you said, Genesis 9:16 is what you had?
Genesis 9:12 through 16.
And one of the players had Genesis 2:22, which is where God gave the woman to Adam, made the woman from the rib of Adam. So those were the scriptures that were on the hat. Yeah, which are good, right? Those are good.
Yeah.
The word of God. And so the fan base complained about it. San Francisco being San Francisco, we all know that it's a gay community. And Mayor Daniel Lorre condemned the players' actions, piling on to the backlash that the fans put out there. The Giants organization issued an apology over the pain and the anger.
Anger, I'm sure.
Right. Pain, right. Where's the pain?
Yeah.
The pain and the anger to men in the LGBTQ community. Now, last week, and I'm just going to mention this, last week we mentioned that LGBTQ is let God be their quest. So I just want to bring that in there because we're going to continue to say that.
It's a great use of that acronym.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Let God be their quest. And which seemed to not to calm the growing fallout from the fans. And Major League Baseball even issued a warning to the players about the uniform policy from the violations, which includes writing on caps. And so you wonder, where did all this start from?
Right?
You're not allowed to write on your cap.
Right.
And, so, but they can change the cap anytime they want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They can say what they want.
Right. Yeah. So we have, where did all this start from? On June 28th, 1969, we have where the police raided the Stonewall Inn, which was a bar in Greenwich Village. It's a gay bar in New York City in Greenwich Village. And it happened in the early morning hours between, I think, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., somewhere around there, because they used to congregate outside the bar. And the bars in New York close at 4 o'clock in the morning. So the response to the raid was uprising and rebellion. So that's what kicked it off. And I was living in New York at the time, and you could be reading the news, and you'd be seeing the you'd be seeing the news, and you'd be reading about it in the news. A year later, in June 1970, they formed a Christopher Street Liberation Day march, which was the one-year anniversary of the raid by the police at the Stonewall Inn. And this is the first official gay pride parade. So June of 1970.
Did they call it that?
They
gay
called
pride?
They did call it gay pride.
Okay.
They did. And This is, it also took place in L.A., so I don't remember if the internet was around, but it took place at the same time. It wasn't, right?
No.
But they got the word out.
Yeah.
So in L.A., in San Francisco, in Chicago, the parade took place at the same time.
Right. See, Al Gore hadn't invented the internet then.
Right.
It was much later, right. According to his own admission. Anyway,
a little late.
Yeah, but okay. So a man by the name of, and this is it, a man by the name of Craig Schoonmaker coined the term pride to encapsulate the movement.
Mm, perfect.
So, right, perfect, right? In 1999, Bill Clinton issued the first presidential proclamation officially declaring June as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month.
Why not?
In 2009... Moving forward, in 2009, President Obama included the bisexual and transgender community for their pride. So this is where we have it. And now it's seeped into professional sports and in baseball. And since this last event that just happened, and with the DOJ, now the government, the Department of Justice is investigating for this event, which is saying that baseball is not allowed to dictate that these people do not have to wear what they assigned if it goes against their religion.
Well, MLB had claimed that because they have rules, league rules, about how you
uniform. The uniform policy.
That right. Trumps, no pun, okay.
Right.
But it does. That it trumps an individual's right to their First Amendment right. Anyway.
Right.
Now, I think, and the DOJ is really wanting to say, no, you nothing should get in the way of your appropriate
right.
expression of your First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
Right.
And, not to mention freedom of religion.
Yeah.
Right.
First Amendment.
What San Francisco was doing at the stadium, not just putting the label on the hat, not just putting the rainbow on the hat, but they also hosted a gay couple renewing their vows. So this was going on where people could see this. They also had a drag queen virtue signaling the Pride Night ceremony. Mm. And I had to look up what virtue signaling was. Did you ever hear of that?
Well, that's a strange use of the word virtue.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't understand it.
It's like it's saying this is a certain type of optics that people do.
Parading.
To generate a certain opinion of
right.
a watcher.
Wow.
About who they want them to think they are.
But the activity is itself virtuous, and I'm going to signal that I'm virtuous in connecting and presenting.
It's more attaching virtue to something that is not virtuous.
Well, exactly.
Basically.
It's about looking good rather than
right.
doing
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
It's about
right.
looking
exactly.
good
exactly.
and parading around.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, that's
right. Yeah. So, so this is what's going on. Now, we don't even... This Friday, I just wanted to bring this up. The soccer match, Iran and Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
They're dedicating the Pride match against Iran and Egypt is what they're doing over in Seattle. This is two countries that behead anybody that's gay.
Right,
and the United
right.
States, the Pride community is trying to dictate to the world that they are going to be a pride match. So I don't know how that's going to go over, but I just wanted to bring that out.
The level of arrogance that points to is
pride. That's
egregious.
Pride. That's yeah. pride. That's pride.
Pride. So pride is
right,
arrogant.
Right. And what pride is the excessive belief, and this is under the biblical terms, what pride is excessive belief in one's own ability, leading to a disconnect from others and a sense of superiority over God.
Mm-hmm.
Over God. Right?
Perfect. Yes.
So this is what's going on. And an example, you made me wrong, right? They believe that they were made wrong. And then I'm fixing it myself in how I see fit.
Yeah.
So with either the gay community or the transsexual community by changing their body.
We're going to talk about
right.
just that.
Right.
Yeah, we're going
right.
to get into that
exactly.
later.
Exactly. So, do we want to do the flip side of that now with Tim Tebow, or do we want to Do we want to wait? But that's what's going on.
Well, actually, why don't you lead into that?
Yeah, because that's connected.
So this is what happened. Tim Tebow in the year of 2002. Right.
It was 2002.
Right. He was playing for the University of Florida as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Yep. He wrote on his eye black. Now, in case you don't know, if you're not a sports enthusiast on the football field, eye black is something that takes the reflection off the lights for your eyes.
Oh, correction. I'm sorry. It was 2009, January 8th, 2009 that he did that.
Okay. All right. 2009. He was a junior in the University of Florida. And he wrote, so his eye black is black. And he wrote in white marker on the eye black, John 3:16. Mm-hmm. Now, John 3:16 got 96 million views on Google from that championship game at the collegiate level.
Right.
The following year, now here's the persecution. The following year, they decided to ban all writing on eye black.
Right.
The following year in 2000,
NCAA, 2010,
right? 2010, the NCAA decided to knock that out. But John 3:16, in case you're not aware, reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life."
Yeah. Can I just throw
yes.
it? Because there's something that's always grabbed at me. About what when the left comes for, you know, they want every one of their every position that they embrace to be not just communicated to everybody else, but embraced by everybody. They want everybody to embrace every aspect of the narrative that they have, politically, spiritually, whatever is going on with the left.
Right.
But if you have a different element in your narrative, they not only do not want you to express it, but they want to silence you because you are.
Right.
And they would really rather either get rid of the thing you are supporting or get rid of you for supporting. I mean, that's the ultimate.
It is the philosophy of the collective.
Yes.
The collective always has to be obeyed. It goes back to Marxism, an atheistic form of government and social adherence, and that's where that comes from. You cannot buck the collective. The collective is God.
Amen. Yes.
And that's what they do.
And that's why let us not, look, before we go back to you, I just want to say, keep in mind then, listener, that socialism is an active element in the political narrative of the left. And there are many people that support that narrative that now hold public office at every level of government.
Well, and that's what's pushing the agenda.
Yeah.
And that's what's pushing the agenda. They're pushing the agenda through the government. Yeah. So because they're making laws. When the Stonewall Inn, when the uprising happened, there was laws against the gay community. Like for the marriage laws, you couldn't have the same equal rights. And this is what prompted the uprising in that community.
Right.
So because they didn't have the same equal rights as, say, you know, a married couple. And that's what they were fighting against.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And every other right that they wanted.
Right. So, so that started in 2009. And as a result, then what happened 3 years later, Tim Tebow put on John 3:16 on his eye black in a championship, in a playoff game, playing for the Denver Broncos against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what God did with Tim Tebow putting John 3:16 under his eyes, this is what happened. Okay, he passed for 316 yards. He averaged 31.6 yards per completion. The time of possession for the Pittsburgh Steelers was 31 minutes and 6 seconds. The rating was 31.6. And for the rating to be 31.6, how many millions of people are watching TV? Mm. How many millions of people are watching that program?
A few.
Right. I mean, if you have like a 2 rating, and I'm not familiar with the numbers, but you got millions of people watching that if you have a number 2 rating. So 31.6, half the country is watching this, is watching this game. It was the number one trending on Facebook and Twitter, where people are looking for John 3:16, Googling it all over again.
Right.
So this is God is putting his word out on the football field.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. God, Tebow writes it under his eyes, and God writes it in his stats.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, right. What That's great. That is awesome. Yes, he does. Right?
Yeah.
So
316.
So with it being the number one trending, and this is in the spiritual battle, because Pride Month, Pride is trying to take over, the gay community is trying to take over. And what it is that we love the people, mm-hmm. we love the people, God hates the sin. Mm-hmm. The sin goes against God.
Amen.
And this is what we're trying to, this is what we're trying to bring about, to bring, to shine light on.
Right.
It's not about the person. It's about the sin that goes against the word of God.
Right.
Because God created man and woman.
Oh, my goodness. Must be God calling? No.
That's a different phone call.
Okay.
Oh, my word. We didn't.
That's all right. We've all forgotten to turn our phones off in here.
Yep.
But, you know, actually, that that may be a good thing, because I think let's go ahead and take a break, because when we come back, we're a couple of minutes ahead of the scheduled break time, but let's go ahead and do that. And then we come back, Keith can wrap up his commentary, and then we need to shift to Lance, who's going to take us even deeper.
Yes, hey, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So let's do that. And, oh, by the way, you can call in if you have a comment or a question. And when we come back from the break, the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. We are back. It's wonderful to be back. We had a good time during the break. I need to add another, maybe a song in there, so we can have more crosstalk time. But anyway, welcome back to A Biblical Response. Again, you're welcome to call if you have a question or a comment, 772-221-1100. Again, 772-221-1100. And again, we'd be happy to hear from you. We'd ask you to be succinct in stating your position. We're not going to debate you. That's not an aspect of this program. We have so much to cover. But we'd love to give you a chance to share your thoughts, and then we will move on. But not having that right now, I think, Keith, you wanted to wrap up where you were, and then we're going to shift over to Lance.
A couple of things real fast. I just wanted to say here, the baseball players stopping, putting the scripture on their hat, and the DOJ getting involved.
Right.
Some of the games that have been slotted for gay night or pride night have been canceled as the DOJ is investigating the situation.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things.
Having an effect.
Yeah, thanks for those words.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just something that came to me, and I want to clarify. only because I know there are people out there that they're listening maybe not fully to what's being said, and they've heard us talk about rights and gay people, and some people have taken those two elements and put them together to think maybe we're saying gay people don't have rights.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure you hear that we are not saying that.
Right.
That as with any citizen of the United States of America, the Constitution guarantees those certain inalienable rights that are supported and protected by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
And given to us by the
Creator.
Given
to us by God.
Defined.
That's right.
Through that.
And I don't care what your relationship is with God, whatever, mm-hmm. if your lifestyles make him upset or make him happy, there are certain rights that apply to you regardless. But when we are now talking about lifestyles that the Scripture tells us are abhorrent to God,
mm-hmm.
that no one has the right. They take the authority that's not given them.
Exactly.
No one has the right. God does not give them the right, right to live that abhorrent lifestyle. And it makes sense because if God is opposed to it, he is not going to give you, he's not going to protect you, if you will, as you do that. Right. Anyway, so just to make you, maybe you can climb back now off the wall that you were going to climb. Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry, Keith.
Yeah. So the Bible says, and going into that, David, the Bible specifically says Romans 13 speaks about the morality of sex. And it says here, is abstinence and celibacy outside marriage the answer? I have got an NIV Bible for men. Mm-hmm. And the question is, but it says, let us behave decently as in the daytime and in not carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy, not dissension against God, not debauchery against God. So it's against the sin is against God.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking to convey here, mm-hmm. and express that this is not about you as the person. It's about your separation from God,
yeah.
in the sin.
Right.
And what does the Bible say? To share the good news of Jesus Christ and the salvation of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what we are trying to do, sharing it in the love that God gave us.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know? So, and it says, supporters of gay marriage seem to accept the modern idea that self-fulfillment is our natural right. But every modern romance, like Romeo and Juliet and West Side Story, rests on the premise that individuals have the right to reject any outside authority, such as family or cultural norms, that stifles their romantic destiny.
Well, the outside authority of reality and biological reality itself.
Right, right, right.
And that biological reality coming from the Creator God.
Yes.
And that's when these kinds of acts, these sexual impurities, these sexual perversions, when they come in contact with society, is when we have established our society based on the idea these inalienable rights come from a Creator.
Right.
So when I want to establish something that's other than what creation obviously is,
mm-hmm.
I'm denying that God is the source of inalienable rights.
Mm.
So in one way, they cling and claw for rights, but in another way, they eschew or get rid of the God that actually gives them the right.
Mm, yes.
So it is a crazy, upside-down, backward world we're in the secular world today. And like you start in 1969, and boy, they have, you know, no pun intended, they've been on the march since then. Well, I wanted
forcing
to talk,
the issue.
Forcing the issue.
Forcing the issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just going about their life.
It's the collective.
Forcing the issue against the Christian community as well.
Against God himself.
Right.
Yeah. So
the church.
I was talking about Pride Month. We can't leave out the LGBTQ part of it, the sexual impurity, the sexual immorality of it. And so I was going to talk on that today. I did want to say and echo kind of what you were saying there, David. There are a lot of different people out there dealing with a lot of different things, and I am just one of them. And I want to approach this in a spirit of humility and meekness, considering myself, lest I too be tempted You know, maybe not with the same thing, but with something else. And all of us, yeah, there's something. And so as I go into this, it's not an attack on a specific, it's an attack on a specific behavior and a spirit that's out there. So I hear people in the church, liberals in the church all the time saying that homosexuality is not mentioned in the Bible. Homosexuality is not. Well, you're right. The word homosexual is not mentioned in the Bible. However, the act itself is described
several times,
all over the place,
right, all over the place,
and described in detrimental terms. Well, so, in Leviticus, you have this list of sexual immorality, Leviticus the 20th chapter, and I'm just going to read through a few of them here, and they're all in a row. If the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, he is put to death. If a man that lieth with his father's wife, he is put to death. If a man that lies with his daughter-in-law, he's put to death. If a man also lie with a man as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. And then after that, if a man take a wife and her mother, it's an abomination. If a man lie with a beast, he is put to death. Mm. So it's not that this idea of homosexuality mentioned, the act mentioned in the Old Testament, is outside. It's contained right in a whole list of sexual perversions. So the Creator's proper sexual relationship is a man and a woman in holy matrimony. We just mentioned that they wrote on their ball caps the second chapter in Genesis, where God says, let us make man, well, in the first chapter, let us make man in our image. Mm-hmm. Collectively, he's saying this to a plural God. Let us make man in our image. Male and female created he them. And we find out it wasn't just any male or any female. We find out later that they were created for each other. They were taken from one single piece of clay, actually. You have Adam, and then for his rib from his side, she's brought back together with him, mm-hmm, and they two then become one flesh. They give the DNA code of each other to each other, and they become one flesh in a baby. That is, got your eyes, got my hair, got your feet, got mm-hmm my smile. That baby is now one flesh of the two of us. And that is the order of marriage, man and a woman. Nobody else can accomplish this. Hmm. And this itself is the image of God. So when we're wanting to change this, not only are we wanting to change and do some sexual impurity that I may lust after, not only to do that, but I change the very image of God that he said he created man in. So, however, so what is the liberal objection to this, where in Leviticus it's called an abomination? What do the liberals object to there? There it is, homosexuality, and it's an abomination, but they have what they now call the shellfish objection. The liberal objection is the shellfish objection. So let me break this down for you. It's crazy. Leviticus has all other kinds of laws in it also. Mm-hmm. And there's laws against eating shellfish. There's laws against eating pork. There's laws against wearing wool and flax together. There's laws against plowing with a donkey and an ox. There's all these different kinds of laws that are in Leviticus. And what the liberal says is, well, we all eat lobster today. We all eat shellfish today. So we all should be able to commit homosexuality today. What's the difference? Those laws are right beside each other in the chapter. Mm-hmm. Therefore, since we don't follow half of those laws that are in there, why are we following the other half? That is the shellfish, what they call the shellfish objective. Mm. Of course, here's what the obvious thing is then. Okay, so when a guy takes his neighbor's wife, is that just, since we eat shellfish today, can we go ahead and do that too then? Mm. Or how about sleeping with a beast? How about that? Because we eat shellfish and we don't mind having barbecue pork. Then we can go ahead and do this bestiality too. Sure. I mean, it's an absolutely absurd objection. And I've listened to it in church over and over. Mm-hmm. They'll drag out this shellfish objection about how the other laws aren't followed, so why do we follow these laws today? Now, when we look at these kinds of things, it also teaches us something, though, if we look into them and say, well, why are they wrong in this? They're wrong in this for this reason, that there are different kinds of laws, different kinds of buckets of laws in the book of Leviticus and in the Old Testament. There are ceremonial laws, there are spiritual laws, there are civil laws. And the ceremonial laws contained in the handwriting of ordinances. In other words, they contain the sacrificial laws, the laws that say you bring a lamb at this time, or you bring the scapegoat at this time, or you bring a wave offering at this time. All of the ceremonial laws point to Jesus Christ. So that when Christ was crucified, as John says, here's the lamb that takes away the sin of the world.
Right.
When he is crucified, there's no longer any reason for those sacrificial laws to exist. Same thing.
He's the final sacrifice.
He is.
Amen.
So in the ceremonial laws, you also have dietary laws, and you have what we call laws of separation. So there's dietary laws. Why would God put in the handwriting of ordinances those laws? Why would he put dietary laws? But dietary laws to keep the Jewish people separated from all other peoples. There's no greater bonding thing that can happen than sitting down to a meal together. Well, God prohibited that. He said, nope, these guys like lobster, you're not going to eat it. These guys like the barbecue pork, you're not going to eat it. You and your food has to be prepared a certain way, and I'm going to make a separation. Well, why would he make a separation? Because Jesus Christ was going, the Savior of the world was going to come from these people. And God says, I'm not messing this thing up. You are a city set on a hill. You are unique, and you're going to be separated out. And so that people are going to know where Jesus Christ, the one that's prophesied about, my son, is going to come from. So he separated the Jews out with these things. Also, the laws of separation then. You have don't plow with an ox and a donkey. Don't wear wool and flax. And there's all these kinds of laws.
Right.
Those were there to remind the Jewish people that they were separated. But when Christ came, and this is what Paul says, he says those laws contained in the handwriting of ordinances were nailed to the cross. There's no reason anymore for those ordinances. And he has broken down the middle wall of partition between the Jews. So we see, because these liberal, I guess, theologians, I don't know if I'd call them that, they don't understand that difference in the laws of the Old Testament. They don't realize that the ceremonial laws, the eating of shellfish and these things, have been done away and abolished in Christ's body. However, the idea of adultery, adulterating the marriage covenant,
those are sacred.
Those are sacred. Those are in the spiritual laws, which are the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Those will be forever.
Right.
So the abomination that's committed with homosexuality is something that's always going to be not permitted because God has created in his image.
Right.
Looks like we have a call. Go ahead and punch that.
There you go. Stop me, I'll tell you.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
I was calling because there is a certain person missing from the studio. And since I have time, I want to say hi.
Hey, Ann.
The show has been excellent.
Thank you. Well,
thanks, Ann.
I loved how Keith shared about all the sports. I'm a Tebow fan. And then now Lance is sharing about why the laws in the Old Testament and why they were applied back then. But when Christ came, they don't apply now. So it's an excellent show. And I wanted to say good job, boys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Ann.
Are you still at the airport?
I'm going to miss you today and next week. But you guys are doing great.
Thank you.
And it's a very important subject. And I think that just to pray for people in that lifestyle, I think it's important to know that we love
them.
We love them. Like how you said, Lance, it's a spirit. You know, we are all prone to different spirits, pride, whatever it may be, right?
Yeah.
And we can fall. So it's just important that I think at the end, just to pray and let people know we love on this population. We pray to have an encounter with God.
Amen.
And that we just desire for them to come to the truth, and that when we bring the word of God, it's bringing the truth to them. So anyways, I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. And you know, we prayed for you before we got into the news hook. And
thank you.
So I'm praying just in case, did you throw some snowshoes in your suitcase? This is Canada after all.
I'll miss the warm weather, but I'll come back to it. So.
Please do.
But God bless you. Have a good rest of the show. And I'll try to catch I don't board until like 12:20. So I'll try to listen to the end of it. So.
Okay, great. Well, thanks
good job.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Cool, cool. That's great to hear from her.
She stopped me on. I was on a roll.
Well, get back on that roll.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, let's leave the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament, because it's mentioned in the New Testament.
And Jesus is the new covenant.
That's right. And so some people might object, you know, about, well, all things have changed and all things are permitted and all things. Well, Paul addresses this.
Amen.
Here in Romans, which is Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. It's the first letter that Paul, it's not the first letter he wrote.
Here you go.
Okay, here goes.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. My name is Gregory up in New York City. I'm up here.
Oh, my goodness.
An old friend of mine.
Hey, Gregory. How are you? Wow. How are you, Greg? Wow. It's good to hear from you. Bless. Thank you. It's great to hear from you.
Yeah, well, I just want you to hear from me and to your friends that I, the whole panel of guests that as Keith put it, I'm on the road to righteousness and I'm coming along slowly and enjoying the ride.
Amen. Fantastic.
Amen.
And I want to say thank you to all of you because you guys help you are helping me do that and accomplish something that's great and
wonderful.
I'm very much appreciative of this show.
Well, thank you very much.
And I recognize the accent. You sound a lot like Keith.
That's great.
Yeah.
Greg, it's so good to hear from you. Tell the family we said hello. And just, we love you guys.
I will. And we love you. We love you guys.
Thank you.
You're all doing a great job. And,
praise God.
Like I said, I appreciate it.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you, brother. Greg.
Thank you much. Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was good to hear.
Wow, that was awesome.
You mentioned him several times.
I did. And I used to work with Greg and for Greg in New York City, bartending and serving lunch and dinner behind the bar.
Hmm.
So, in a place called Carmine's down at the Seaport. The original Carmine's down at the Seaport, not to get off track here, but the original Seaport, where they used to bring the fish directly from the piers up to the restaurant, which was only a block away, and used to cut it right there. And the food was absolutely awesome.
Friday and Saturday nights were just packed.
Yeah. With these calls, I'm beginning to think that God's trying to sabotage.
Refine it.
All right.
Go back. Yeah. Get back.
So here we go in Romans 1. This is what Paul says here, 26th verse. He says, even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with their lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men. That's Paul in Romans, the first chapter. That's the 26th verse.
Which was abundant in Rome at the time as well.
Well, here's the issue. So what are the liberals, how do they get out of this one? How do they say, well, it's not really saying something's bad about homosexuality?
And do you see how timeless the Word of God is?
Oh, yeah.
Do you see how timeless
what
God wrote 2,000 years ago still pertains to everybody's life today?
Today.
Right.
And this is what Paul is, this is what they argue against Paul in. They say that Paul has a certain context in which he's saying that homosexuality is shameful. And that context that Paul is talking about here in the first chapter of Romans is the worship of idols. So they practice homosexuality in the worship of their idols. And the liberals say it's not the act itself of homosexuality that's impure. It's the fact that the act is used in idol worship.
Mm.
Oh, boy.
Oh, so talk about separation.
Here's what I would say.
Talk about separation.
They used prostitution in their worship of idols. They used orgies in the worship of their idols. So I'd say, well, orgies aren't so bad. It's just the fact that they're used in the worship of idols. And the liberals would say, wait. the homosexuality is two loving individuals. That's what makes it different. And I said, well, what's wrong with five loving individuals? Why can't polyamory be the thing that it would be fine to practice, wouldn't it? Five people that committed to each other's and live in a sexual relationship and live in one house, that would be fine, wouldn't it? As long as they're not doing it in worship to idols. I mean, the argument is childish. The argument falls apart on its face. And it's admittedly crazy.
One of the biggest arguments that I get, Lance, is that the Bible was written by man. One of the biggest arguments mm-hmm. that is out there from the left side, so that it's not the word. They're saying that it's not the word of God, but it is by the Spirit of God, the Trinity of God, the Spirit of God that gave us the Word of God
right.
for us to live our lives by.
But we're just men talking here today.
Right.
What are we saying? But are we talking about what the Word of God is?
He who lives in me is greater than he who lives in the world. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I have a shirt that says, loved by God, saved by Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. I love that shirt.
Yeah.
And and that's the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God tells us, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, these things are happening.
Amen. Amen.
So.
Well, I went on here to look at what Paul says here in this fifth chapter. He mentions, and this is what is the basis. What Paul's talking about here is the basis of what the forefathers wrote in the Declaration of Independence. He says here, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. And that's what we've already talked about. God's quality, he is a triune God. Well, it's clearly seen through he made his image, which is a man and a woman in holy matrimony. Those three, they become one, just as God's three becomes one. His invisible qualities are clearly seen through those things that are made, so that people are without excuse. The problem is what Paul says, these people profess themselves to be wise. Mm. And in professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What they're saying is, look at me. Now, you mentioned this earlier.
Right.
Keith, look at me. I'm smarter than God.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
You know, I'm smarter. I know that he's designed this a certain way, but fulfilling what I have in my heart is more important than fulfilling the image of God. That's what they're saying. They're smarter. And what kind of soil does this craziness grow in? Unmitigated, insatiable, unquenchable arrogance. Arrogance is the soil in which all this, and what do we call it? We call it pride.
Pride. Yep.
So I just thinking about when we called the recognition and celebration of sexual impurity Pride Month, that I am greater than God and I can redefine the sexual reality, the sexual biological reality that God put, and we're without excuse because we can see it. And we call that recognition and celebration of sexual impurity Pride Month. It's so perfect, there has to be a demonic intelligence behind that.
Yes.
It's so perfect.
And, you know, it goes from the brain to the heart. It goes from the brain into the heart. And that's where the heart hardens, thinking that you know better than the
Lord. Right,
right. And what is Proverbs? What does the book of Proverbs tell us? Only a fool believes there is no God. Right.
Fool said in his heart.
Fool said in his heart, there is no God.
That's right.
Faith and family.
Faith and family.
Faith and family over against sexual perversion and pride. That's what we're saying in the month of June.
And this is the spiritual battle.
We want, the battle lines couldn't be drawn any more clearly than that. We want faith that God is true.
Amen.
And we want family, which is the result of the created order of man and woman.
Amen.
That's what we want over and against sexual perversion and pride.
What did God say in the book of Genesis? Go and multiply.
It's the first
go
commandment.
Go and multiply. Go and multiply. What do you say to Noah, right? Go and fill the earth.
Yeah. The two shall be one flesh.
The two shall be one
flesh.
That is
Christ's doctrine of marriage. People say, well, Christ didn't give us a doctrine of marriage.
And that's what Paul wrote is the mystery of God.
That's right.
Paul wrote is the mystery of God.
That the DNA, the code of one, can be given to the code of the other, and they be added together. And Christ, in the 19th chapter of Matthew, Pharisees come to him. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause?
Right.
And he says, have you not read that from the beginning he created them male and female, and for this cause a man will leave his father and mother and will cleave to his wife, which is the consummation, and they two shall be one flesh.
Amen.
That's the doctrine of marriage. And if you vary from that, and there isn't any other way to get it than what he has created, if you vary from that, you are adulterating the very image of God. Yeah, I'm on my high horse.
Well,
I see. And please stay on your high horse, but keep in mind, we're heading to the corral in a couple of minutes. <That's right. laughs> No, I appreciate what you're saying. Yeah. I'd stop breathing, but then other things would end too. But that's where all this coughing comes from. So anyway, I've said this before, but there's a common, very fundamental truth that it helps me to remember, and when I read the Word of God, to reflect on, and that is the issue of submitting to God.
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line for anybody, any human being who's ever lived and certainly alive today, is that when you think of God, and I hope you do, that and the entirety of the Word of God, coupled with all of the witnessing that has gone on from the first day God revealed himself to the first person and up through today, because God doesn't change, has been that that God wants to have a relationship with his people. But that relationship really begins when we choose to put God over self. And therefore, we choose to submit, to be obedient to the living God. That characterizes the life of the born-again Christian.
Right, right.
And then, of course, that's refined as we go through our lives. But because that's so important to know, and so if you're listening today and you're not a believer, well, and God loves you and he wants you to come to Christ. He wants you to have a relationship with him through his son. But that will mean that you will give your life over to God, who made you.
Yeah.
And frankly, to be honest, has a better plan for your life.
It's a beautiful
than you could ever come up with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And David, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read in verse 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister.
Amen. And that is...
It is God's will. It is God's will.
Amen. And he has went by submitting to him, being obedient, we have that life that only God can provide.
Yeah.
Now.
Demonstrated now. Through our very creation.
Amen.
Amen.
Exactly. We have like a minute. A minute and 10 seconds to be actually accurate. And I tell you, this has been a great, I believe, great program. God's really moved through us. I hope you listeners have been blessed.
I just want to recognize the three baseball players or the four baseball players from San Francisco who stood up, right, and wouldn't accept or acknowledge what was going on through the team, and they were standing up for the Lord and professing their faith out in public against everything else that was going on, and this is what we need to do.
Yes.
This is what we need to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. And in faith and family that you just mentioned before, right? To come out of the church and to push forward faith and family,
right?
And to recognize that we love the people, we don't love the sin.
Amen.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Courage.
Stand
up. Courage.
Courage. Right. Yes. Right. To profess your faith. Jesus said to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation, the only way is through Jesus Christ.
Amen. And he'll give you the courage to do that.
And the words.
And the words.
And the words.
He'll give you everything.
He'll
just
give
do
you
it.
Everything, yes.
Well, this time we have to say goodbye. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Thank you for joining us.
Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.